good evening and welcome to our services tonight. Glad to see some of those who were away this morning. Glad that they are. Glad you're back, made it safely, and made it back with us to worship tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about the will of God. About a month ago, Al preached a lesson on questioning God. And kind of the question was, bad things, why do bad things happen to good people? And when that happens, what do we do sometimes? Like I said, we question God. We question Him. You know, are you real? Are you good? Do you care? We know He cares. We know He cares. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye need of before we ask Him." We know that from James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then about 2 weeks ago, we learned from Britt that our best and our most perfect gift was crucified. We talked about the pain and the agony that Jesus went through on the cross. We read in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, as Jesus is saying, He says, "Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We see in John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. So that left me with a question. Well, what is the will of God? And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. It's God's will. What does the Bible have to say about God's will? And as we look through the Scriptures, we're going to see tonight, there are many verses that mention and that talk about the will of God. Have you ever prayed and said, "Lord willing," or "if the Lord wills," or as Brother Matt tonight said, "in according to your will"? Those types of phrases, have we used those in your prayer? I have. I've said those things. What do I mean? What do I really mean when I say that? Now, as we're looking through, I think, why do I say that? Well, I look in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, and we'll continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, 'If the Lord will, we shall live,' and do this or that." So whenever I'm saying something, if the Lord willing, or saying, what am I saying? I'm saying that I surrender my wishes. I surrender my desires. I surrender my intention. I surrender my will to that of God's. I surrender that to His desires, His will, His intentions, His wishes. So as we see this, and we can kind of see this play out too, as we also, I think this was also in Brother Al's lesson. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, and talking about when Jesus, He's there, He's praying, and He's praying, and He's saying, "In this manner, therefore pray," He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's His will? How is it to be done in heaven? How is it done in heaven? If it's done in heaven, it's going to be on earth. Well, I know that it's going to be in complete, perfect obedience. His will is going to be done in complete, perfect obedience. Well, how do I know that? How do I know that His will, the will of God, is going to be carried out? Well, we look back to Luke chapter 22, verse 42, when there He is, Jesus, He's come out, and before, in the few verses prior to 42, here He is, Jesus, He's there, He's at the Mount Olives, and His disciples are with Him, and He's at this place, and He's praying that you not enter into temptation. In verse 41, He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He kneels down, He starts praying. In verse 42, He says, "Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there, you know, the angels there, they go to Him, they strengthen Him. He's in agony. He prays more earnestly. His sweat is as if it's great drops of blood. So here He is. He is pleading to the Father. He is pleading to the Father, remove this cup from me, but not my will. It's yours. And we know what happened. We knew that from what Britt told us the other from 2 weeks ago. Why did Jesus come? Did he come to do his will? What did he say in John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40? For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that which sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Jesus, I'm not going to lose anything. I'm coming, I'm going to do God's will, I'm not going to lose anything. What else is the will? He says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What is the will of God? His will is that we should all have everlasting life. That is his will. That is his desire. That is his intentions for all of us, is to have everlasting life. When we look in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. He's making us perfect. He's making us complete. We're complete in who? In Jesus Christ. In the blood that Jesus Christ shed. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So what are we're here. We're here to bring glory, to bring honor to Jesus, to bring glory and honor to God as we're here doing his will, so that his will for us is to make it to heaven, to make it to his home. But, you know, I just really don't understand. I just don't understand what God wants me to do. I can't understand the will of God. Well, the will of God can be understood. We see when we look in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Here Paul is saying, he tells them to awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He's saying, you walk uprightly. You walk circumspectly. You redeem the time. The time that you have, you make the most of it. He says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have to understand what the will of the Lord is. And his desire is for us to have eternal life. Goes on there, and he talks in verse 18. He says, be not drunk with wine, which wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to understand his will. Well, he talked about some of his will. What does he want us to do? He wants us to not be drunk with wine. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to speak to ourselves. He wanted us, as we were leading these songs, as Britt was leading these songs tonight, he wanted us singing together. He wanted us exhorting one another. He wanted us to make melody in our heart to him. He wants us to give thanks for all things that we have. He wants us to be a people who is thankful. And Brother Guy did a very fantastic lesson last week on Thanksgiving and being thankful. We have to have that trust in him. We have to put our trust in him in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into my understanding, into our own understanding. In all our ways, we're going to acknowledge him. We're going to recognize what he wants for us. And then when we recognize that, he will direct our paths. He will direct our steps. And we will go in a way which is the way that he wants us to go. But we have to trust him. We have to acknowledge him. You see, the will of God is proven by us. It can be proven by us. Well, what do you mean? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How can I put to silence the will? How can I put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? By doing the will of God. And by doing what? By doing well. By doing what? By doing well. By following after God's commands. by following His will, by following His wishes, His desires for us to love Him and to serve Him and obey Him and to not fall into sin, to do His will. When someone has something to say about you, if you're doing well and you're doing the will of God, you're going to put them to silence. We can prove the will of God by not being conformed to the world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When people look at us and they see us not like everyone else, when they see us standing out, when they see us separate, when they see us as that shining light, as that city that's set on a hill, when they see that, we can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can prove the will of God by abstaining from immorality. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting there in verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. What's the will of God? His will is that we abstain from sexual immorality. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We should know how to possess that. We should know how to act. Our conduct should be in such a way that we bring honor to his name. He says, not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. He goes on to say in verse 6 that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all, and we should have also forewarned you and testified. He goes on and says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but He called us to holiness. His will is that we are to be holy. He doesn't want us to conduct ourselves where we're unclean. He doesn't want us to despise our brothers. He doesn't want us to despise any man. Because when we do that, we're not despising man, we're despising Him. And that's not His will. His will is us to be holy. That's what He wants for us. We see also and that we can prove, and Brother Guy, as I mentioned a while ago, talked about Thanksgiving. And it's not we have, you know, the month of November where people start writing, you know, start putting that, posting on Facebook, I'm thankful for, and they start day one and go through there. But it's not just one month and it's not just one day. It's daily that we should be a thankful people. We prove the will of God by being thankful. And God wants us, as Christians, He wants us to be thankful. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what He wants. He wants us to be a thankful people. Not like Brother Guy mentioned this morning, not murmuring and complaining. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be a people who is thankful. We can skip up, you know, go back two verses. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Those are the things He wants from us. Those are the things He expects from us. That's His will for us to do. As you can see, when we do God's will, it's quite beneficial to us as Christians. We see in Romans chapter 8, verses starting in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, His desire. Al mentioned in his lesson, he mentioned and talked to us about, you know, some of the things that happen in our life, and talking about bad things happen to good people. Sometimes it's choices that we make, choices that someone else makes. But those choices that go back, those things that are bad, those things that happen in our life that aren't good, are those things from God? No, they're not. They're from the one who brought sin into this world. They're the one who is the father of sins. They're from Satan. Those things that are terrible in this world, those things are from Satan. Not from God, because what does He say? All things work together for good to them who love God, them who are called according to His purpose. And He goes on, He says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. His will for us is to be like Jesus. His will is us to strive to be like His Son. So we are called we're called Christians for a reason. Because we're to be like Christ. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called, and he called them. And them he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorifies. His will is that we are to be a people who is justified. We are to be a people who glorify, and his name can be glorified by people seeing us, the actions that we have, and the things that we say and do. It brings pleasure to God when we do his will. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he wants us to do. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to do things that will bring him pleasure. When we're thinking about it in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, when God says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. This is what I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. Not things that are evil. To give you an expected end. So when his thoughts toward Jeremiah, no doubt his thoughts toward us, when we're doing his will, are thoughts of peace. Not things that are evil. And it's to give us an expected, what is that expected end that he's expecting of us? What is that? If he's thinking these thoughts of peace, what is that? Well, when I look in 1 John chapter 2, and I start reading in verse 15, when he says to love not the world nor the things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. His will is for us to not to love all those things in the world, all those things that are going to cause us to fall from his grace. The world is going to pass away. The lust are going to pass away. But see, here's the benefit. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So as we're going through our life and things happen, circumstances arise and they're not pleasant to go through, they're not pleasant to be a part. Know that when you do God's will, you're going to abide forever. When I look in Matthew chapter 7, and we read this one, and it says, and we sometimes we say this one a lot, but not everyone unto me says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So everybody that's calling out his name, they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but who is? But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name we've cast out devils, and in your name we've done many wonderful works. What great things that they're doing. But he says, I'm going to profess to you that I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why would he tell them that? Aren't those some good things? Prophesying in his name, casting out devils, doing wonderful works. What were they not doing? They weren't doing the will of the Father, which is in heaven. So as I'm thinking about that, I can't help but to think about the psalmist. Talking about the will of God and the benefits that we have. Well, teach me to do God's will. The psalmist said in Psalms 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You see, when we're taught the Word of God and we're taught His will and we do it, where will we go? We have a land of uprightness that is waiting for us. And in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, that's where we find everlasting strength. That's where we find that strength to get through those times when we're having hard times in our life. We have to make choices, though, don't we? See, because we have free will, we have choice. God's intention for us is for man to live a life that is pleasing to him in all things. However, we do have free will. And we don't always do what pleases God, do we? Instead, out of love, you know, he created us in a way that we can make our own choices and decisions and regarding the directions that we want to go in life. But in doing so, we make bad choices that produce a multitude of problems in our life. And those bad choices cause us to fall into Satan's temptations and to fall from the grace of God. But even after all that, we fall from Him, we sin, and we don't do what He wants us to do. And even when we reject Him, He still provides a way out. What a God we serve. That He still provides. His will is that we will not what? We're not going to perish. He doesn't want us to perish. Even with all of our temptations, this God, the God that we serve. Look here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you which is common to man. But God, He is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you're able to bear it. The God that we serve, the one, His will for us to live a pleasing life to Him, when we're faced with temptations, when we're faced with whatever it is, whatever we're weak at, and Satan is going after us, He always provides a way of us to escape, to get out of it. You see, because He sent His Son to do what? He sent His Son to seek and save the lost. That's why Jesus came. To find those, to search out, and to save those individuals who were lost. That's why in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, that's His will. His will for us is that we will not perish, that we will have a life with Him, that we will live forever with Him. That's His will. We see in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus said, when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. The ultimate is that we have the free choice. And that choice is, will we follow Him? Will we deny ourselves? Will we put off our, what we want, our will, what I want to do, where I want to go, and put on Christ, and put on God's will, what He wants for us in our life, how amazing our life will be. You see, because in our triumphs, God wants us. In our defeats, God desires us. In our most joyous occasions in our life, God wants us. In our heartbroken, weary times in our life, God wants us. His will is that none of us should perish. So what do? We surrender our life to Him. Guy sometimes concludes his sermons. He says, give me your hand, but God your heart. You see, God wants it. He wants all of it. So tonight, if you aren't a Christian, won't you become one right now? If you need prayers of your fellow Christians, don't put it off. Surrender to Him as we stand in the